You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of Sexistential Crisis, the podcast where we are really talking about helping women embrace their bodies, embrace their sexuality, have amazing relationships. And it's also for the men who love them or actually want to date them. Because I've actually found there's a lot of men who listen to this show. I actually think there's more men than women. I think they're trying to get some insight into like the woman's mind or something. I don't know. But it's kind of cool.
Or they just want to hear you talk about sex.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's actually probably it. They're probably just like masturbating.
Perverts. Yeah, let's be real.
You know, well, because through my own...
Is your average listening time between like 5 and 7 minutes?
And there's like a sudden drop off. Where'd
this
they go?
This is boring. They're not talking about sex graphically.
Right. Or I've just come, I need 20 minutes to recover, and then it picks up again. Right. And you're like, exactly. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Sandwich, some Gatorade. All right, I'm back. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And take two. And I've started like in my like Tindering and OkCupiding and all this stuff. I have listed that I have a podcast, so men always ask me about it. And I feel like I'm gaining listenership one failed dating experiment at a time.
That works.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the reasons why I'm single girls.
Is that what they do?
That's absolutely. I mean, Chelsea's very upfront about, you know, the show and what she does and all that stuff. And she does. She's had guys that have said, before we dated or before we went on a date, I went and listened to your show because I wanted to know what I was getting into.
Yes.
So to speak.
Well, if they're lucky.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, any of the guys that I have dated have listened to the show in advance of me, usually in advance or by like the second date of meeting me. And I think it's a great idea because to me, it's like, if you don't like this persona, I mean, this is not my whole personality. This is just a persona we play on the air, but you know, it is me. If you don't like that, like, don't fucking date me.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
It's not going to work.
I don't think so. So this episode, we are talking about one of my favorite topics. This was specially requested by our audience that we discuss dating red flags. And I could not think of anyone better to bring on the show, but my dating co-conspirator, Amanda Brewington. Amanda is a recovering entrepreneur turned loan officer that sometimes plays a comedian when presented with a microphone. And here we are. So
yeah, like a microphone.
Show up, bitch. All right. You can catch her at Comfort Zone at Trixie's Bar in Hamtramck on September 20th. And you also appear at other events with Comfort Zone as well.
Yes.
So you can follow them to find future dates. And you're fucking hilarious. And girl, I have heard some of your stories. They make me blush.
That's
that is hard.
That is such a compliment. I'm so excited to hear that.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I got an hour to impress him. All right. Let's go. All right.
And go.
And we're on. All right.
All right. So I have to say, I just have to really speak specifically about this, and then we can pull out and talk more generally.
Totally.
I am not dating another fucking foot fetishist. That is my red flag. That is my number one. I'm done. I just auto red flag it out. There's a guy on Tinder right now who, he just has photos of women's feet with painted toenails with bunions. And he is looking for somebody who has bunions to fulfill his foot fetish fantasy.
What is that? Is it like a grandma thing or like a hardworking woman thing? Or like what
I don't know.
Causes bunions?
I don't know.
I don't
understand foot fetishes, but if I ever have to hear the words, I can only come while fucking you with your toes in my mouth, I'm going to vomit.
Jeez. Okay.
Someone told me that on a first date.
Wow.
I feel like that's something you hold back. Like that's not an early card to play.
Yeah.
Like that's not a pawn. That's more of a bishop, maybe a knight. Like that's not an opening move.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Well, you know, like I have a friend, her boyfriend from, I don't know, a million years ago. She didn't learn this at first, but this is like about holding back. She learned after about a year or so that he was a fart fetishist.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
and he wanted to talk about farting. He wanted to have her fart during sex. He wanted to describe the gastrointestinal discomfort of farting to get off.
I feel like if he's into that, he should just like hung outside like a GI center, like where people are getting like scoped for issues. Like he should have just been like, hey, how's it going? Like, fine.
They're coming up with colonoscopies. And yeah, like
so
here.
How's Crohn's disease working out? Like something like that. Like, I don't know. I just would have been his people. I don't
know. Those would have been, I know. Yeah, he should have specified that in his dating profile.
Because there are people with the
problems. I only date people with IBS.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I mean,
just
I know get some out of people that would be like really, you know, that's their life and they'd be okay. And, you know, I mean, maybe they don't.
Well, there's someone
for
everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know,
it's a lot of people on this.
Who knew there was a
fart
fetishist? I can't even. You know? I can't. I just, them and the foot fetishists just.
I learned about dollification.
What the hell does that mean?
Not too long ago.
Dollification?
So apparently it's a subset of a subset of a subset. Like it's a niche within a niche within a niche of BDSM. Where, okay. So it's because I was at Tangent Gallery for an event. Exactly. Because
this is where you would learn about this. Yes.
Strap on your helmets, kid. It's going to be a rough ride. And I'm sitting at the bar, and there were, when I was walking around, it was a Comic Con of all things was there.
Okay.
And when I like had taken a lap, there was a woman behind one of the booths who was very clearly made up to look like a doll.
Okay.
And so a little bit later, like a couple drinks later, I'm at the bar and she and another girl come walking out and they're both made it. And I was like, look, and it had nothing to do with what they were there selling. Like they had a comic. The comic was cool, but like this was just their look. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, so what? I feel I'm like
okay. Did they look like the girls from The Shining?
No. I mean like the big rouge circles,
oh, like Raggedy
and the
Ann
freckles,
and Andy,
yeah. Like very very like. And then the other one was like all alabastered out.
Did it look attractive? Like I mean, in a kind of sense.
To me, no, I didn't get it. Okay. So I was like, okay, look, I need to understand this. I will buy drinks. As long as you are sitting, because you've seen me, I will buy drinks as long as you are sitting here explaining this to me. Go. And they're like, well, you know, and the one girl was like, oh, you know, we were both really into dollification. I'm like, okay. Much like, I've never heard of this. What is this? Whoa. So dollification is like a branch off of being a sub where your sir or your whatever is a maker.
A doll maker.
And your maker makes you.
Wow, it's like a Pinocchio
and
thing.
Dresses you. Oh, yeah, or Pygmalion or
yeah.
So, and like, it's very like and but I'm okay. Like I'm still in. I'm still
you're
okay.
Following this.
I'm still because they're both attractive girls. Tell me more.
Okay,
me more.
Yes.
But here's the kick. They don't move. They don't react. They don't make noise. They don't do anything during sex. They are effectively a sex doll.
Oh, that's fucked up. Well, I fully support it, but that's still fucked up.
Yeah. Well, when you said it, I pictured like, are you familiar with the movie like Lars and the Real Girl?
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Gosling. Like that's what I pictured because like that's with him in the sex doll, but it's like his girlfriend. If anyone listening hasn't seen that movie. I really like that movie. And I tell people about it, and they're like, "You like that movie?" Yes, I do. I like that movie.
Anyway, okay. Well,
it's good.
I mean,
it's a heartwarming movie.
But I
actually
can't even imagine. Not moving during sex.
See, that's why
I just can't even imagine that being pleasurable.
Here's where the conversation got deeper because then I was like, all right, well, but one, how?
Right.
And two, why?
Right.
Yeah.
And
that's the curious part.
Yeah. And so then the one was just like, hey, so it's almost kind of a power trip, you know, because when I'm not reacting, when I'm not doing anything, it makes whoever I'm with try harder. I'm like, well, then that's not really being a sub because now you're trying to take control of what's going on.
Isn't that like topping from the bottom?
So there's my red flag.
That is a red flag.
Oh, yeah.
That's dollification.
I told you that story to tell you that one.
That's the one red flag? I'm not sure. Okay.
No,
making sure.
I have a box.
All right.
That
okay.
That I posted on her wall. I have a box full.
That was hilarious. Amanda, do you have like an immediate like sort of sexual red flag?
You know, it's fairly, not too long ago, I went on Match.com and It was because I hadn't been on anything that you pay for yet. Mm-hmm. I was very...
Like, is the quality better?
Well, so all my married friends were like, you know, you get what you pay for. Maybe if you paid for something. And I'm like, that's not accurate. I mean, porn's fine if you don't pay for it. Like, what do you mean? I don't know. Like, I didn't really...
Porn still works.
Yeah.
And it's free.
It's free. Yeah. Look at the internet. But lots of things on the internet are free. But they were like, no, maybe if you pay for it, the quality will improve.
Okay.
They thought that. And so I did it as kind of a test.
I'm curious.
Yeah. And so I matched with this guy. And right out the gate, it was, you know, I've done porn before. And I was like, and in my head, and this is where women, and we'll get into this, we can dive into this, but it's like, in my head, as a accepting woman, I was like, first, did I mishear that? Did he just say that?
Like, you beeped a horn before?
Yeah, I was like, what? Horn? What? And then I thought, and then immediately my second thought was, okay, is he just saying that to be like, I've got a big penis, or like, I've got, you know, I'm good at in bed? Like, what?
I'm like, do you have AIDS?
Yeah, well,
that's my first question.
Okay.
Literally, that's, I'm like, what's wrong? Like, I can't touch, I'm sorry.
Fair.
No offense to people who have any.
Life happens.
Yeah.
Got it. But
whatever happens, but like, I wouldn't lead with that. I don't think.
Yeah. And so, so I in my head was like, okay, I'm just going to let it pass. Like, just started talking to this guy. He mentions it out the gate. And I think, I'm just going to pass. I'm going to keep talking to him, and maybe I misheard it. Maybe whatever.
Right.
But then it like, we finally met up. Like, after talking for like a day and a half, we did meet up, and out the gate, he's sitting across, just like you are now, from the table with me, and he's like, what are you into? And what are your kinks? And I was
like, this is literally the question I also just asked you, so I'm kind of almost,
well,
so
it was
sort of scared. What,
it was literally like
this parallels.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. So he out the gate, like the waitress takes my drink order, walks away, and he's like, what are you in? What are your kinks? Mine are, dun, dun, you know, just starts naming them off. And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, well, maybe you should watch more porn. And I'm like, well, hi, 5 minutes in, 5 minutes in. So what I'm saying is, my red flag is like oversharing sexually. Like,
yeah, from the get go.
If the waitress had just taken, I don't even have a drink yet. She just took my order, and you're asking me what kinks I'm into?
Well, yeah.
What are you doing?
I mean, it's clear to me that's someone who just wants sex.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so when you said, you know, his opener was, I was into porn, I was waiting for, so he picked me up and we stopped at a gas station, and right before the tank was full, he pulled it out and sprayed it all over the back of the trunk of the car, just trying to prove a point, something like that.
Exactly. It was actually just like, it was like in that movie, and the guys are dancing at the gas station, right. And Zoolander. I don't know. But that, for me, it's the oversharing. Like, and I'm bad. I'm an oversharer, like, to a fault, especially like when I'm comfortable or like I'm around friends. I probably definitely an oversharing person. But when you just meet somebody, like, pull it in. Just pull it in a little bit so that I can, like, where'd you grow up? Not what kinks are you into? Like, I don't
know. Well,
you know,
that's not first date material.
Did you have a happy childhood?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you do?
Yeah, like, he did not know what
you know
I did
what?
For a job.
Okay.
He wanted to know what I did in
How
the bedroom.
How do you feel about duct tape and shibari rope?
Yeah, I mean,
I got it in the trunk. If we need to go explore, I can do that.
Yeah.
All right, so I have, I've got to tell you about this book. I've really been influenced by it, probably in a very bad way.
Uh-oh.
Probably.
Knowing you, I say, well, oh.
Yeah, watch out. It's the Steve Harvey book. And I'm not even a fan of Steve Harvey.
He's such a character.
But it is this book, Act Like a Woman, Think Like a Man.
I've seen this book before.
Okay, I read it for our last episode, which was on how to understand what men are thinking.
Okay.
And he had some advice in there for women on dating. And, you know, he's very reductive. Like, it's very much like, you know, we've kind of gone back 100 years in time.
Oh, well, before you tell me what he says, I want to say, in my mind, hearing this is what Steve Harvey says, like, I already feel like you're going to mansplain something to me. Like, I'm a moron, because I feel like he talks to everybody like they're five, and I don't, that's not what I'm about. So please.
Let me explain what dating is.
Oh, gosh.
In case you haven't heard about dating
yet.
Thank you. Really helpful. Okay. So Steve Harvey says, these are the first date questions you should ask.
There are five answers on the board. Show me.
Oh, no. My mom loves game shows. I will tell her to listen to this part.
Right. And if the man cannot answer any of these adequately or sufficiently or, like, you know, with ease, he always says one word. Run.
Run.
Immediately. Run.
Run.
He just says run. So, first question. You know, and women always get accused of making dates like a fucking FBI interrogation, but just listen to these. What are your short-term goals?
Okay.
Tell me.
Okay.
Or I'm running. Okay.
That's a little bit much.
Hang on. We're not even... What are your long-term goals? Steve also says that if their short-term goals are the same as their long-term goals, to also run.
Fair.
Because then fair. They don't really know what they want.
I can't believe I'm slightly agreeing with Steve right now, but I am, and I'm just going to own it.
Just keep running. Okay, third question. What are your views on relationships? And then he wants you to ask, what's your relationship like with your mother? What's your relationship like with your father? Tell me about your previous relationships. Okay, I cannot imagine
on a first date
going through all of that and actually expecting them to tell you the truth.
See, I would possibly be the funniest person, at least from my perspective. Hey, what's your relationship with your mom? Yeah, she died when I was 16. Oh, what about your dad? Died when I was 22. Next. Like
right. You're right. Like, oh shit.
Right.
Steve, what do I do in this case?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is he asking you, like, is the woman supposed to ask the man this? Or is the woman supposed to reciprocate answers? That's what
yes,
I'm curious.
Okay. I think she is. Okay. He expects women to have their shit together.
Okay. Got it.
But these are the questions a woman really needs to ask of a man on a first date. Okay, then he says, like, you know, after a few dates, to ask, what do you think about me? And that the man should be able to give you a clear point of view on what he thinks about you. And if he can't, or if it's like really generic and he can't extrapolate on it or, you know, add more depth or color than just like the basic things anyone would say.
Right.
Run.
If he's you have brown hair and you wear glasses.
I think you're cute.
You're fun sometimes. Like that. That's
and
not...
then they'll be like, well, what do you think's cute about me?
Yeah.
What do you
yeah.
like?
Dig
really
deeper. Okay.
Keep digging. Keep okay. digging that hole. And then he says, after a month, to ask, how do you feel about me?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if a man cannot tell you how he feels about you after a month of dating, it's because he doesn't feel anything for you.
Oh, wow. Isn't that hard, Steve Harvey?
Well,
dang.
Dave, what do you think about that?
Shut up, Steve.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no, I mean, that sounds completely accurate. I mean,
Really?
No, dude. So, you know. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the, you know, there's the whole running shtick about it. You know, a woman knows within 30 seconds if mm-hmm. she's going to sleep with you or not. Dude, guys know.
They do know.
Like,
yeah.
dude, guys, we totally know, like, whether you're a weekend in a hotel material mm-hmm. or you're like, hey, maybe a fun week in Mardi Gras
sure.
material or, hey, I'm going to wife this one up.
Yeah. Like, how soon do you know that?
Typically pretty early on.
Like in the first month?
Oh, easy.
Really?
Oh, easy. Like I've never had a long-term relationship sneak up on me.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
And when have you...
I'm taking all this in.
Yeah. I know.
Like, well, listen, there's so much history I'm going through in my mind right now.
And
like,
when did you tell them, you know, I want to be exclusive with you or I want to... Did you tell them?
Some no. And some of those are the, you know, the great regrets of life.
Because you lost them?
Yeah. You know, yeah, and, sure. and some, yeah. You know, and then either it blew up in my face, or it was great.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. There's so much I'm learning just sitting here, just taking it in.
I do think people know.
Yeah.
You absolutely do. Like, that's why that's why, like, it's so funny. Like, cause we, like, guys, we do. We sit around and we call each other out on this shit. You know, it's one of those, hey, man, so what's going on with, well, I don't know. Dude.
You know.
Fuck you. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you know.
Like, it's like, are we going to see her again? Like, you brought her to Bob's Christmas party.
Right.
And you made us all pretend like we knew who she was.
But maybe they're just nervous to express that to you.
I could be, but we're going to bust your balls until you do.
Yeah.
So you might as well just cave early.
Yeah.
Well, so that, yeah, there's like so many. I should get like my notepad out, but I won't because
this is therapy.
I'm going to go there, right? So my therapist says, like, relationships are the only thing where humans will, like, you know, you go, you see a burning building, you run away. But if you're in a relationship and it's a burning building, you're gonna be like, well, maybe I have water in my car. Like, you're gonna, you're gonna think about it and how you can, like, mold it and change it. And when she said that, it was, you know, not too long ago, she was like, you know yourself, you know what you want, you know, humans, gut reaction, you know, and and it's so true.
You do know. It's really interesting. You know. So, because we were talking before the last show went on, Dave asked me about this person that I'm dating right now, and I'm actually really, well, I'm just going to answer it. I'm hesitant to say it on the air because, you know, it's nerve wracking. You know, this person's going to listen to it, right?
Right.
So you're always like, ooh, like, I don't want to talk about my relationship on the air, but. It's really interesting because this guy feels really different.
Okay.
Like, really, really different than, you know,
the past.
The years of.
Those who have come before.
Right. There we go.
All the prior nightmares of my dating life.
Yeah.
And so it feels really special. And I'm like, I wonder if he feels that way. I wonder if, like, it feels so different for him.
But here's kind of the, and I feel like we need a new name for this trump card.
I think it's hilarious.
That you have during this podcast. So he listens.
Yeah.
Well, if he listens to the last episode and wants to correct the assertion that came forth in that episode, let him do so.
Yeah.
Right.
Why did you think? No, it's not just that. It's,
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I mean, because that leads to, like, my next question. Like, if your gut, you know, 30 seconds, you know, two dates, whatever it is. Why do we always, and I'm, like, talking this bigger, like, human race, but, like, why do we always play our card, like, keep our
close
to the vest every time?
Okay. So I want to talk about this because I'm trying to do things differently.
Okay.
There is this book I've been reading called Radical Honesty.
Okay. It's not by Steve Harvey, just to be
clear. It is not by Steve Harvey.
Just want to make sure. It's not another book by Steve Harvey that you're quoting.
Guys, I read the Steve Harvey book.
It's actually by Stephen Hawking. It's it's all about free radicals.
I read the Steve Harvey book so you don't have to, okay?
Thanks for taking one for the
service.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Please, you don't need to read the Steve Harvey book. The last two episodes will tell you everything you need to know from that book. And he talks, this is written by a psychologist, and he talks about this whole idea of how we have learned from a very young age to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that we continue to lie because we don't want to hurt people. We think we'll embarrass them. We think we'll be hurt. And he then, you know, sort of outlines these steps. I actually want to do a whole episode on it because I think it's really powerful. But I am trying to not lie.
Yeah.
And to just, like, say, okay, this is actually how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't control their reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I can just be honest. And then we can actually kind of, like, I feel like either race to the finish in terms of saying, you know what, I'm not really that into it. Or I think this is just fun on the weekends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, okay, that's where I stand with them. Or they could even say, you know what, I kind of feel similarly.
Yeah.
And I'm into, and then you're like, oh, thank you for not wasting my time.
Yes.
And, you know, continuing in this. So I'm kind of in between that and not wanting to, like, squash, like, a little flower that's buds are opening.
Because, again, the male ego is fragile.
The male ego is fragile. It is fragile.
Yeah.
Back to red flags.
Okay. I like how we're not. Yeah.
We're a little
we're
off topic.
Over, but it's okay.
We're a little off topic.
We're still offering some kind of entertainment advice / whatever.
Yeah. Well, I hope people are getting something out of this.
Yeah. If you can't handle some conversational rambling, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Also
fuck off.
Or as I like to call them, random synaptic misfires.
Okay. I like that.
That's how my head works.
I like random synaptic. Okay. Here's an actual red flag in first dating. I usually do ask, like, usually ask in the first date or the first couple dates about an ex. I'll be like, oh, so how long have you been single for?
Sure. That's normal.
I think that's a very normal question.
Because it's not like they were waiting for you. The answer would be like, I never dated anyone. Like, hello, we're in our 30s. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Like,
so I will usually ask that, and then I'll kind of see how they respond.
Okay.
And then I'll sort of ask, maybe ask, like, oh, so what, you know, what happened with your girlfriend? Or you want to, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of just leave it open for them to respond. And then you'll either notice them say things like, well, she was really crazy. And immediately when I hear that a woman is crazy, I'm like, Nope. She wasn't crazy when you started dating her for 3 years. Yep. Like, why is she crazy now?
That's not always true.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the crazy hot.
All right.
Venn diagram.
I'm going to.
There is a certain allure to crazy.
Well, also, I'm going to amend that. Like, I find crazy to be a very lazy term for a woman.
Well, like, it's just how women are often, like, she's women emotional. Who are disagreeable or they don't get along with, they're often described as crazy.
Yeah, was she strong-willed? Oh, yeah. Was she strong-willed? Was she, you know what I mean? Because when people are like, oh, she's crazy. What does that mean? Like,
yeah,
like
what
actually,
does that
like, she
mean?
Should be committed or like she's just strong willed?
Like, was it like the burning bed?
Yeah.
Was
it? Like, what level?
Was it when she boiled the rabbit?
Yeah.
Leading up to that? Like, yeah.
Yes. No, but I'd agree with that. That it is. It is kind of a, it is a lazy generic.
I think it is lazy.
I do. I just.
And I just don't think it reflects well. Like, tell me, describe the behavior.
Yes.
What do you mean?
What caused whatever it
like,
is?
I, for example, had an ex that I've done the math. She poured somewhere between 5 and 7 gallons of gasoline into my 110-gallon tropical fish tank.
What?
And like that wouldn't have killed my fish fast enough. She lit it on fire.
Come on.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a little crazy.
That's a little crazy. I want a different word for that. Almost that, like that's a nightmare. That's a, like, what are you
is
doing?
Is that a felony?
Like, yeah. I feel like
is
you're.
Is that. What's
danger?
We'll have this conversation at some point. I will reserve this story to tell on your show at some point because the punchline to that story is not even that. The punchline to that story is when I'm living in D.C. 3 years later and she calls me up at my office to ask me out.
No.
What?
Stop.
So no.
Okay. She thought you like forgot about?
There's a teaser for a future episode.
So many
okay,
questions.
Okay.
All right. All
next
right.
episode. Listen in.
Yes.
Here's the next thing. Okay. So. Disparage their exes. I don't like that. If you haven't learned
yes.
from your last relationship, you're not ready to date me. And I'm talking about dating for people who are interested in having a relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about casual stuff. In that case, just go, you know, do you like the way they look? You know?
Yeah.
Go fuck
them. Do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Right.
Do whatever you want. I'm talking about actually dating. If you're not over your ex, you're going to bring them into the relationship
yes.
with me. And I don't want to deal with the ghost of your ex.
Yeah, and it also shows how you deal with people. Like, I think how you deal with your exes, how you also may deal with, like, people in general and friends and family and stuff. Because, like, this is me personal, maybe I'm a weirdo, but, like, I'm friends with, I think, almost all of my exes. Like, not like we hang out and grab drinks, like, not buddies, but, like, we, if it didn't end perfectly wonderful, 6 months to a year later, there was some kind of, like, hey, follow Jen on Instagram. We're cool, right? Like, yeah, we're cool. Like, I don't have any hard feelings.
Is it friendly or friends?
Not friends. I mean, I think a couple of them I'm friends with, but I'd say overall, just friendly. You know, it's peaceful.
Yes.
Peaceful is the word I would use. It's like, if I see them on the street, I'm going to say, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And that's it.
You're not running to the other side of the street.
I'm not running to the other side of the street to hide. And I'm also not running at them like, hey, let's hang out tomorrow. Like, it's somewhere in the middle, right? And so when I date someone who isn't like that, where they have a lot of, oh, I hate that person, or, oh, no, they're dead to me, or whatever. Like, if they're like that, I'm kind of like, why? Like, what's going on with you?
Well,
fish tank girl's dead to me.
Okay. There we go. Okay, see, there's an example. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and I'm not saying maybe you don't want to
be. Dave has set a boundary.
Yes.
Like, I will not engage with this bitch any longer.
Yep. Well, I'm into that.
So I don't talk to my ex-husband at all. We have not spoken in over a decade.
Okay.
And that's because
Ditto.
He was a fucking lunatic.
Okay.
And he really was.
Yeah.
He stalked me.
Okay.
He did some really terrible things that were very, very hurtful and were deceptive.
Okay. And that's
so
different.
In that case, it's like, I don't need to be in your company.
Right.
Now, with a couple of my ex-boyfriends, we are friendly.
Yeah.
Meaning if I saw them, if I was in their town, I might say hi.
Sure.
Now, as I revealed prior to us taping, the guy who ghosted me after 4 months of dating is actually downstairs right now at the location where we are recording.
So
and
you
I just
can't find him because we're not going to tell you where that is. but I'm going to say,
she's been paranoid. Like, ever since that came up, she's been waiting for me to walk downstairs.
I literally have been waiting for Dave to
When
go
you
down.
Disappeared for a minute earlier, she thought that's where you went.
Oh, totally.
She's terrified.
I'm like, oh, God.
I think I saw him because you showed a picture of him to me before, and I was down there eating before we did this because I skipped lunch and I was like, oh, there's food here. And so I'm eating and I'm looking at this one dude and I'm like, he looks familiar, but I don't know that person. And I think that must be him because I was like, why do I? And I'm just eating, like, I don't care. Like, I'm doing the hand right now. Like, I'm just eating and I'm like, I don't know that guy, whatever. But that, I think it's him. Yeah. So I think I know exactly because I couldn't place why I knew him. And then when you said that, I was like, oh, that's the guy.
Now, that's a guy I would avoid. Like, I don't feel the need to reach out to you. I don't even feel the need to say hello to you.
Well, he was
a rude ass.
Yeah.
Like, that was just that's being a shitty human being.
Right.
Yeah. I guess, so I'm going to push it a little further, even though you're the host of the show, but I'm going to push it a little further. So if you go down there after we're done and you walk out and he walks up to you, then what would you do?
If he approached me and he initiated a conversation, I would say hello.
Okay.
I will not initiate a conversation.
Got it. I think that's fair.
I was waiting for a climb Dave like a tree.
Run to the bathroom and cry.
No. Where's my man? Right. Dave!
See, I'm just picturing like my Aunt Kathy when I was a kid. I had a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. And you know how they have like Chuck E. Cheese like is in a costume? Like there's the animatronic on stage, but there's also like a man in costume walking the floor, like saying hi to kids. Super creepy. But my Aunt Kathy has always been like kind of a cuter lady and she was in young. And so she's like hanging out with kids. And this guy's, the Chuck E. Cheese guy is like, following her around, like following her and like keeps like being close and like walking by her and kind of grazing her, touching her. And she like ran to the bathroom. And so that's what I'm picturing would be your reaction. Like Chuck E. Cheese and my Aunt Kathy. Oh, wait, you're my Aunt Kathy and he's Chuck E. Cheese. And like,
and he's Chuck E. Cheese and I'm running away.
That's what I pictured.
He's way too much of a coward to ever approach me.
That's fair.
So I could not even imagine unless he literally ran into me.
Yeah, like bumped you, turned around. And
hit me.
Let's just go down, start doing shots, and randomly yelling out answers.
Yeah, yes, that's what we should do.
All right, because I should say he's hosting trivia downstairs. Yes. I don't know if I said that. So, yeah, awkward.
No,
but I think I do have to go downstairs to exit building.
We can't actually.
So I can't actually rappel off the side of the building.
They would not allow me to install the bat pole.
Oh, okay. You don't have the thing like Pink had when she was, what was that, the grand down the side of the wall? Nothing of that?
It's very, very sad. Okay. No, they couldn't do that.
Yeah. So, well,
you
know what?
Tangent. Sorry, that's me. I'm just tangent.
Random synaptic misfire, which I think would be a phenomenal name for a show.
Yeah. Well, I think that might be the new name of the show.
I think it is the name of this show.
this episode
if nothing else. Yeah.
Red flag /
random synaptic misfire. Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, maybe this will be a follow-up in our next episode because I do have to go down there and
report back.
We'll report back on what might have happened with Dave's drunken encouragement or Dave getting me drunk or I don't know. We'll see. It'll be.
Oh, man.
You know, but you can't let people have power over you.
You can't. No.
You just got to do your thing. Okay. Does any side note, just unrelated, does anyone have a Xanax?
Not on me. Sorry.
Klonopin? Anyone?
No. Okay. Baron Jaeger.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that would be helpful.
That would be, yeah. Or the shot glass. We'll just do it up here.
That, I don't need a glass.
Okay. Just fair.
Put it in my hole. All right.
And that's why guys listen to the show.
Exactly.
That,
right?
Just that
they're going to take that sound bite.
That 3 seconds
loop
on loop.
Loop it.
Ben, I have video of that. So yeah. that's going to be the new promo cut for your show right
Put
there.
It in
that's
my hole.
Slowly, she says it.
Yeah. Dave, why don't you... I can't even say this on the air. I was going to say, it doesn't really apply to the drink, which is unfortunate. But I was going to say you could just blow a load in me.
Okay, now we're just doing.
We'll be back. We'll be back in about 20. Knew I should have had those blinds installed up there.
Those people would never know what they're watching.
I want to give good masturbatory material.
There you go. You're doing it.
So
I
feel, you know, what? Maybe that's how I build my listenership. Who knows? All right. So other red flags. How they view the world. I actually do not care on a date. I told the story in an earlier episode where I was on a date with a guy and I was asking about his life because we had a lot of commonalities.
Yeah.
And he told me about 20 or 30 minutes in that it was the second most invasive date he'd ever been on.
What?
I wanted to know why I wasn't the first.
Yeah.
But
you want to win. All right.
Yeah. If I'm going to win anything. But I'm not really interested in, I'm not terribly interested in the music you listen to. I'm not terribly interested in the shows you watch. I'm not really like that stuff is going to change and evolve over time. I'm always trying to figure out like how you see the world because your values. Feel free to correct me, but your values are like what I'm looking for in a partner, not your hobbies or TV show interests.
Yeah, no, I agree with that to a point because, and maybe this is, and I'm bad. I live with people when I, like a lot of people that I've dated, I've like.
You just jump right in.
I'll just jump both feet. Like, let's see if this is going to work or not.
Did we talk about this in the last episode?
this is a deja vu moment. No, I.
Are you a hobosexual?
I'm not. Though there was a point when, probably. Yeah, it was like my car or I guess I can tolerate you. Yeah, there was a time like that. But anyway. I was never married, but I always say I was almost married and people are like, what does that mean? And I do like a lot of jokes about that. Like, oh, you know, it's like Almost Famous, the movie, you know, people don't, what does that mean? You know, Kate Hudson, she's with this guy, he has a wife. So instead she like, you know, almost ODs in a hotel room like that, you know, I didn't have to do that to escape it, but it was similar. And you know, it's not similar at all. Sarcasm. That's a joke.
That's a joke. Thanks.
But
okay.
Just want to make sure. No suicide jokes. Anyway. So the guy I was with was like 9 years. So we weren't married, but like
if
the Michigan
like
had
yeah.
common law, it would have been a thing.
Right.
So we met in a living situation. We were in a housing cooperative. And so like we lived, we each had our own room in a house mm-hmm. and that's where we met. And so then we dated, we moved out of the co-op together to an apartment and then like several apartments later. And so I think about that, like maybe that's why I'm cool with like living with people quickly, because it's like, well, that's my norm.
Formative experience.
Right.
Exactly. So my 20s, I like lived with a dude for 9
okay.
years, you know.
Wow.
So yeah. There they go. How by 20s, there they went with one
right.
man.
No, you made up for it.
I did. I hit 30 and it was like, I was on Tinder like a job. Like I was just like, let's see how this works. Let's go. But that's the truth. And so I think for me, what they like, going back to what you were saying, what they listen to, what they like to watch on mm-hmm. TV is important. Cause like if I'm cohabitating with them, I'm going to have to watch or listen to whatever shit they're into. And I like, maybe it's my patience.
But is it first date important?
Not first date, but it's like, it's a gentle thing to talk about because okay. usually you're not like secretive about the music and things you watch. And so I feel like it's an easy gimme. Like when you're on a date, like, oh, you know, have you seen any movies lately or what, you know, what's the last concert you went
boring.
To? It's boring, but it's like, for me, I almost feel like it's like the stepping stone into getting into like something deeper. Maybe like that little bit
Dave,
of,
what
I don't
do
know.
Think?
He's shaking his head.
Dave,
I don't think he
agrees. No, so like, to me, I think that kind of gives you a window into who they are and what they do. I mean, it's like for me, like I used to annoy the hell out of my HR departments because during job interviews, I'd say, okay, what's your favorite movie? Now give me your favorite quote from it.
Okay. Mm. Oh, I like
because
that.
Not just, you know, don't give me some made up movie that you think is going to sound impressive. What's your favorite quote from it?
Yeah.
And then and again, a lot of times it's not even what the answer is. It's how you give the answer.
Yeah.
So hey, like, you know, what are you watching? Right. Like what's in your Netflix queue? What's in your Hulu mm-hmm. queue? Like what are you watching? You know, when you're trying to fall asleep, what do you watch? You know, and I think that gives you some insight and a
really?
Little window into who they are and what they do. Like, dude, okay. I answer that question. I'm like, okay, well, right now I'm binging through Chuck again because that was one of the greatest shows on TV ever.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah, Dave's a giant raging geek. That is what it is. You know.
Okay.
But, you know, but I'm also like I've got, you know, Futurama sitting there and, you know, I've got old Miami Vice episodes. You know, it's all right. Kind
of. But Dave, I don't watch TV.
Okay.
So I don't understand these references.
Oh. See, there's that. So that's a thing with you is you're not. A TV. That's why it's not important to you because you don't do it. That
right.
Piece of puzzle. Here you go. Got right. it.
Well, like, but so, sense. But then that's a thing. Like if they are overly enthusiastic about here are the 37 shows that I watch every week.
Red flag.
Right.
Red flag.
That's
yep.
probably
red flag.
Not
that's
for
your
you.
Red flag. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that it does. Or like,
yeah,
hey, what's
well, you're right.
Music. Hey, I'm really into show tunes.
Yeah. I'm into musical theater.
No.
I have friends who are. I'm fine with that. But to date somebody, like, no.
I can't date any heavy metal people. Okay. I've actually learned that.
I used to host a radio show after a metal show or before a metal show, actually. So I'd like stay afterwards and hang out and listen
really?
To metal. And that's how I know anything about metal was that show.
I can't do it. It's too terrible. But yeah, so I guess maybe that's why, because I don't like literally the last show I watched and you guys, I don't remember the name. It was, oh no, Wild Country.
Oh,
Wild
yeah.
West Country.
Wild Country. The lady who does my hair told me about that.
This is a Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, she told me about it.
Oh my
and
God!
I was like,
wait. Dave has not registered recognition of this, which scares me because
I'm a pop culture freak.
Right. I'm really concerned that you have not. Okay. Dave and I, our first date just failed.
Yep.
Dave, if Dave and I were on a date right now, this would be going very poorly. Dave, this is a 6-part documentary that was done. I think called Wild Wild Country. It was done recounting this extraordinary true story of an Indian sect that bought a lot of land in Portland, or I'm sorry, in Oregon in the 80s.
Okay.
And they created a town, and a lot of crazy, unbelievable things happened.
Let's just cut to the chase. It's a sex cult. Anyway, that's what it is. At least that's what my hairdresser said. She was like, let me save you 6 whatever hours of your life. That's what it is. And she told me, and it was weird because she had, she's kind of more.
It was fascinating.
Yeah. Well, so did she. And like, she is more of a reformed person. So it was weird that she liked it. I was like, okay.
So you don't watch documentaries?
No, what I'm watching right now is a really cool series on Netflix called I Am a Killer. Okay. Which is the opening of the episode is an interview with someone on death row.
Oh. Okay.
And then they go and they interview all of the people, however tangentially connected with that crime. And then they come back and they interview the person again.
Okay.
It's pretty friggin' fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
That kind of stuff. But yeah, so Indians, are we talking,
from India,
casinos or call center?
Call center. Okay. Call center.
I was waiting for how you were going to do that. I'm like, oh, no, they're cringe.
It's
okay, good.
From India, they came over in the 80s with their spiritual leader.
Okay.
They bought a lot of land in Oregon, and they started to incorporate a town. And there was a lot of resistance to this by the yokels, who really
it's Oregon.
Put up a huge fight, which caused these people to get involved in espionage, bombing, shootings, poisoning. They poisoned a village. It was like really, it's a really crazy story. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff. So it's sort of stuff
watch. I think it just shows that TV isn't important to you. Like, not that you don't watch
it. It's not important.
But it's not important to you. And so that's a
So if it's really important to them, it's probably going to be an issue.
Yeah, because I've gone on dates with people where it's like, yeah, let's watch TV at my house. And I'm like, that's not a date. Like, nobody wants to do that. Like, no.
Wait, have I been lied to about Netflix and chill? Like, is that?
I don't think I've ever Netflixed and chilled.
I did.
Really?
Okay, so I was 31. I was in my early 30s, and the guy was like like 25. So that only is 5 years. That would be fine now, but like, it was such a difference when I was 25, right? Because it's just
you just
life.
Went over there, and
so here's the best part. Here's the best part. We met on Tinder. We went out to dinner, and then he was like, "Well, want to come back to my house?" And like, he didn't say like, "Want to come back to my house." It was more like it was early, but we didn't have any other plans. And I was like, and I'm not stupid. Like, it was in the queue, but like, I don't know. I was like, well, let me.
Speaking of in your Netflix.
Yeah. Right. I was like, this could get Netflix and chill, but like, I don't know if it will. So we go back and he lives with his parents.
Oh,
still.
No.
Yeah. And so we did Netflix and chill.
Speaking of red
his
flags.
His parents were in the next room and we totally Netflix and chilled. And I was like sneaking out, like climbing over a baby gate because they had like for a dog at like 30 and out of someone's parents' house. And
no.
I'm like, nope.
Nope.
This is not how I envision my life. No.
This is not where I want to be.
That.
Yeah.
No,
nope.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another red flag.
Here's a story.
Yeah. There's a story.
There's more to that one, but that's the.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. We'll have you back for part 2.
We'll talk more about that later.
No drive or ambition. Like, where are you going? Kind of like Steve Harvey's question about like the short term goals and long term goals. I'm more interested in like, where is your life headed? Where do you want to see it going? What are you working towards? And if you're working towards like going home every day and just like sitting on the couch, then I'm going about 400 miles faster than you. This is never going to work.
Right. No, I think that's true. I totally agree with that because it's like everyone's a work in progress. Like maybe you aren't exactly who you want to be, but like, are you headed towards it? Are you headed towards something remotely like it?
Or like, are you trying to get a raise? Are you trying to get a job promotion? Are you learning to sail? Are you like, what are you doing with this one precious life you have.
Yeah, because I'm super impatient. I think you are too. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for you.
My parents used to say I was.
I'm super impatient. Like, patience is not my virtue.
I probably am.
What I always say. Like,
patience is a virtue. I am well known to not be a virtuous man.
Yeah. I don't
That's
have
what makes Dave so much fun.
Yeah. No, I don't have it. I can't. I'm like, why? Why aren't we doing this yesterday? Like, I'm just not a patient person. So if you're somebody who's like, I'm just ghosting through life, I'm like, get out of my way or
yes.
I will run you down. Like, get out.
Beat it, hippie.
Okay, so let me run through a bunch of these other red flags. If you go out to eat or go get a drink and they're rude to the wait staff.
Oh, yes.
Not okay.
Definitely.
Not okay. If they don't respect your boundaries. So I dated a guy who I kept saying to him, I was like, you know, I think this is moving a little bit fast.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a few days to collect myself.
Yeah.
And I told him that. And the very next day he contacted me and I'm like, no, no, you do not. No, this is not what I asked you to do. And you're pushing me and I don't like it.
It shows that he doesn't know how to listen.
He doesn't know how to listen. And he's not respecting boundaries.
Exactly.
Wanting to see me all the time from the get go.
Nope.
No.
No,
I can't.
Nobody needs saran wrap in their life. Nobody.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and also, so I did that once, right? I did date somebody who, like, we were with each other all the time and, you know, somebody who I'd worked with. So it kind of like, you know, I saw them at work. And then it subsided. You know what I mean? Like, it was those first honeymoon months and that kind of subsided. And so in my head, it was like, well, do you not want to see me
anymore? Something's wrong.
Like, something's wrong. Which, like, hindsight, again, like, looking back, like, no, it was, we shouldn't have done that. And then it made the expectation too high and weird. And yeah.
Just take it easy.
Yeah. Just,
I like to see someone a couple times a week.
Okay.
I think one time a week is not enough to build momentum.
That's true.
And I think more than three times would just be way too much.
Yeah. No, I like those.
Like,
numbers.
I need my time. Yeah. I don't know. What about you guys?
Like a day off.
Just a day off.
Just to ponder. Like, well, because, you know, three times a week, so that's about a day off in between.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you
I need like a between a day and two.
Yeah. Because, you know, how that, you know, just digest, figure
so, out. Dave, you would be like a three times a week, four times a week guy.
That, no. Maybe twice.
Really?
Like, especially early on. Because, number one, you don't want to be pushy.
Exactly.
And number two, you don't want to oversaturate.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be...
Take your time.
Yeah.
Like, it's an exploration.
Don't burn out too fast.
Exactly. What about you? Yeah. Well, you just move in with them.
I just move in with them. Okay, right. No, I unfortunately, that's not completely inaccurate. But I don't know. I think it's healthy to, like, you know... miss them a little bit, right?
Yeah,
it's good for them to not to be there, because then you might like, oh, I miss them. Oh, I must actually like them, or like, oh, thank God they're gone.
Yeah,
like, okay, that's a sign too.
Yeah, that's also a problem.
Be aware,
guys that are too private.
Yes,
that is. Oh. It's weird. It's like trying,
you know, like the air of mystery.
No, well, stop. Just tell me who you are. Like, who are you? What are you doing? Stop being weird.
Like, yeah, I mean, I like to learn about someone over time. Like, I don't want to learn about the foot fetish or the fart fetish.
Yeah.
On the first date.
No.
But please, God, no. But I don't want to have to wonder, like, what are you doing with, like, what's going on with you? Why aren't you telling me about your life?
Yeah, I feel like, okay, do you have a, like, my head goes to this place. I don't know what this is about me, but do you have a secret family? Like, what what are you?
Wow.
Like, where are
you
going? I
do not go there. That's interesting.
And maybe it's, again, because, I know people that's happened to. Maybe that's where it goes. But, like, yeah, maybe you have, like, a secret family. Maybe you, like, aren't really into me. Like, and I'm not saying, like, call me and tell me what you ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, it doesn't need to be that intrusive. But just, like, yeah, today I was at work. Something happened. Okay, cool. Like, that's an anecdote about your life. You're a person. That's neat. But if you don't have any and you're just like, no, I'm just busy. Don't worry about it. Like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah, what
like,
are you?
I don't
know. How would I get to know you?
Yeah,
Or build trust if I have no idea what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Cannot apologize. I dated a dude like that. Drove me up a fucking wall.
Cannot apologize?
Yes. Would not apologize.
Ooh,
like, would be a real dick and would not apologize. That happened twice.
Gross. No.
And on the second time, I was like, nope, done. Goodbye. Yeah. Can't laugh at himself. Like, people who take themselves really seriously.
It's exhausting.
It is. And, like, and then you're...
How are we not married?
Dave, you have to ask me out first.
I've spent, like, all these episodes listening to you describe your perfect guy, and I'm like, check, 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 check.
They're both nervously laughing. Just gonna point it out. Just gonna fly on the wall for you guys.
Well, maybe we could go out for a drink after this.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting story about
where the guy ghosting me is right now.
Yeah, ghosting is, a little side note, like ghosting is just, it's inhumane.
It is totally horrible.
I know it's not the focus of the episode, but I just don't get why it's still, like, we all hate it. It's all happened to you in some form or another. We all feel like garbage when it happens to us. So why does it keep happening?
Because we've trained an entire generation that it's okay to not have the uncomfortable conversation because that's exactly what it is.
Gross. Yeah. Own your shit, guys. Yeah. Women.
And
anyone,
everyone. Yeah.
Human people. Please, own your shit.
And it's actually, I've noticed, because I talk a lot with my friends and on the show and all this about ghosting, because it is so painful.
It's like,
especially not when
feeling,
it's like, not, you know, okay, yeah, that sucks, like after a first date, maybe just,
yeah.
I do tell people all the time, like, hey, I don't want to see you again, but I'll say, like, it was really nice to meet you. I wish you well. I don't feel the connection. You know, I hope good luck with your dating. And then it's just like, okay, done.
Yep.
But
I wish you all the best with all your future endeavors.
Yes.
Yes. Listen to the sound clip of me to masturbate to when you want to get off. Dave's packaged it up.
Here's a USB drive with all the highlights that you'll need later this evening.
Just keep it for yourself.
60 seconds of pure pornographic dirty talk. Just enjoy it. I could make some money doing that.
You
actually.
Definitely could.
Yeah, I might need to.
Well, all right. There you go.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Another idea.
1-900-L-Khalil.
Right, exactly. 1-900-L-Khalil.
Yeah, no, I...
It's just a recording of me.
I would totally
blow
be
a load in me.
When I used to do radio, I would always talk a little bit deeper. I'd be like, hello.
Do you remember Delilah?
Yeah, like that, like, hi. Hello. I used to host a show was called The Basement. I was like, you're down in the basement with Amanda. It was like this breathy. God. And I had no idea I was doing it.
That's why he asked you what your kinks were.
Yeah. Because I talk on the phone
down
just
in the
like
basement
this.
With Amanda.
Yeah. Exactly. I didn't know. I didn't know that was a sign.
Okay, Amanda, you got to give us any parting thoughts. Believe it or not, our hour.
No way.
Of extemporaneous discussion. An occasional red flag talk is
occasional.
Over.
Occasional.
Tangents. And do you have any parting thoughts for us?
Yeah.
Any advice for our listeners?
Advice for listeners. Just, you know who you are. I had someone recently, a friend, say to me, we were talking about dating. They're dating my dating. I won't say who it was about or which side it was. But it was like, you know who you are. Like, you know what you want. So walking around being like, I don't know. Maybe this will work out. Like, no, you know. You're really good at being you. So just be that person and
just be you.
Be who you are and, you know, take it or leave it. We're getting, time is of the essence. It's going by fast, you know. Every year I get older, I feel like it goes faster. And everybody, my dad included, tells me that's normal. And I just say, like, you know, don't waste it. Just do what you want to do. Be who you want to be around. And don't make excuses of, oh, well, I'm just uncomfortable for now. Like, you're uncomfortable for now. What if you die tomorrow? Like, come on, that's a horrible idea. So you know, if you see a red flag, whatever it is for you, because everybody's are different, just, you know,
listen to it.
If you have a gut feeling, probably you should acknowledge it and, you know, just get out there and keep trying stuff. And
Dave, do you have anything?
Actually, so the whole Chloe Dykstra, Chris Hardwick thing.
I have no idea what that is.
Sorry, literally read this this morning.
This
is so weird.
This is ages ago. So Chloe actually had a very phenomenal one of the things she said is, if you're wearing rose colored glasses, all the flags look red, and so you ignore them.
Got it.
Oh shit.
Got it. Oh,
that is good.
So I mean, that's, dude, take your blinders off.
Oh,
see
God,
shit
Dave,
for what it is.
So good.
And to your point, like, no, and the other thing is, and this is something I've struggled with over the years. If it's red flag number one, react like it's red flag number one, just because you've been down that road before.
Right.
And you know what flags 2 through 20 are. Don't act like it's red flag number 20.
Right.
It's just red flag number one.
Cause it's a different person.
But see, we're dumb. We've had this talk. We're not that smart. At the end of the day, we're functionally stilted, and it's a thing. We do dumb things. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. My advice is to be yourself And what I told, what we learned from our guest on the last episode, which I have co-opted, which is to date like you are a mother with a child.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And date like your dating mm-hmm. matters because you don't have time to waste because you have a kid to take care of.
Yeah.
And I love that idea of dating in that way. Because married mom or single moms don't waste their fucking time.
Yeah. And you also like you're protecting another person. Hey, guess what? Protect yourself. Like,
right.
You know, single moms right. are very, oh, I got to look out for my kids. Look out for right. you. Like no one else is going to. Come on.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a real thing. And I just wanted to say also, I always think about dating is like buying a house, right? You know that you want a washer and dryer. You know that you like a basement or you don't. Like, you know all those things. And so it's almost like
I like a basement.
There you go. Mm. There you go. So that's on your list. So what do you like about guys? That's a list too. Like,
yeah, get clear.
Get on it.
All right. Thanks, guys. This is another episode of Sexistential Crisis. If you love this episode, go give us 5 stars and jump onto iTunes to do that. You can also find us on Facebook at Sexistential Crisis, where you can message me, like our page, and interact with us. Until next time.